Bible, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 7. In Jeremiah chapter 7, where we have advanced to, and in that we're reminded of the fact that Jeremiah has reached a point, God has reached a point, and where that it's all settled, that Israel, Judah, I should say, and Jerusalem are set to follow the same course as the 10 tribes in the north, and they're going downhill, and they're going fast enough that you don't stop them. Now, in the light of that, we share together. And remember in verse 15, 7 and 15, I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Ephraim are the 10 tribes in the north of Israel. And thus, the two tribes now, Judah and Benjamin. Therefore, verse 16, therefore, and thou, with emphasis, as for you, here's what happened to Ephraim. Verse 16, first word, and you. Here's what happened up north, but you, emphasis, you. Now, therefore, as for you, pray not thou for this people. And thus, we'll look at here's the petition that they are not to do. They're not to pray, don't pray. And thus, and the word pray means to divide, to separate, to distinguish between right and wrong, good and bad. And it's intense. It's intensive, reflexive. Don't you yourself do something. Don't you yourself pray. Arbitrate. Come and judge between two. In other words, you want to intercede. You want to come and be a mediator. Jeremiah, don't you go and come between God, the judge, and the criminals, Jerusalem. Don't come between me. Don't get between me. Don't look to be a mediator. So that's the first one. Don't do that. We're going to come back to that. And second thing, neither lift up cry. Therefore, I don't want you to cry. And that would be found all over the place also. And it means a mournful cry. A very great, with great force, great intensity is the word. Feeling, passion, for joy or sorrow, to come with great, great force. Don't cry loud. Don't do that. And, in verse 16, and don't cry. And, in third thing, nor prayer for them, that's the same. That's the noun of the verb, the first one you have in pray not. Then you go to the verb, the little word prayer. And the little word prayer means to pray on behalf of. You're looking for mediation. And Jeremiah, whoever, don't look for someone to come along and mediate the situation, to arbitrate, to make it work out. Don't look for any arbitration. Nothing is going to work out. Nothing's going to work out, and neither prayer for them, neither make intercession. Don't make intercession to me. Don't do that. And the word intercession has to do with to push, to strike, to meet, as it were, to fall upon in the interest of somebody. I need to meet with somebody in the light of their good to help them. In other words, I want to make an appointment for the purpose And the word in word is fervent entreaty. Don't come to me with great, great force and say, God, you've got to do this. This is a crisis. You've got to do something. Don't do that. And thus, don't come to me like that. Don't come to me like that. God, you've got to come. You've got to do something. Don't do that. Now, having said that, those things, just take a little note of it's going to be repeated. Let me show you a couple of times. Over in Jeremiah 11, Jeremiah 11 and in verse 14, you'll see again, going to keep banging away at this. Verse 14, therefore, pray not thou, you're going to have the words repeated. Pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry or prayer for them. For I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. They're going to cry out, they're going to be terrible, but I'm not going to hear them. And don't bother talking to me about it. Over, if you would, to chapter 14. Chapter 14. And picking up, if I may, in verse 11. Chapter 14 and verse 11. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. For they when they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, a sacrifice, I will not accept them. But on the other hand, I will consume them by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. It's not going to come out. There's no sense in, and it's all over. The next thing that's going to happen is going to happen, and there's no way to stop it. You have, if you wanted to say, there's no sense in calling 911. I'm not going to answer. Don't bother calling 911. I'm not going to hear. But cry! I'm not going to hear. It isn't that I don't know. I'm not going to answer that. Now, having said that and keeping that little bit in the front, and remembering that I will not hear, back over, we missed that little last sentence, chapter 7, verse 16. I will not hear. I will not hear. And you want to tie that together. God will not hear. And go back over to verse 13, where we were. And now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, I spake unto you, rising up early, very persistently, consistently, and speaking. I looked to warn you, to help you, and I got real early to start the day off to give you the message. Rising up early and speaking, but you heard not. You didn't hear me. I don't hear you. You didn't hear me, and I don't hear you. Now, having said that, I got that little bit. Now, and we don't, here's a 911 call, as it were, and it's not being answered, not going to be answered. And if Dave, you know, the places you can go all over the place in Jeremiah, and they're gonna, if Moses, if Samuel, if David, if Daniel, if they all line up, they're intercessors, they're people that have talked to me. I'm not going to hear them. You put them all together, and they all cried. I'm not going to hear them. So it isn't a question, Jeremiah, or you, or anyone else. When the conditions reach where they are, the only solution is what's going to happen. Now, hang on to that thought. Remember now, here we are in the ending of the age of grace, and we are headed, and for tribulation, the signing of a treaty, tribulation, we're headed for that. We're just headed. Well, and you can't head it off. You can't say anything. There's no indication anywhere that we could cry out and there's no repentance, revival. That's all right, but it isn't going to be found. Jerusalem and Judah are not going to repent. They're not going to repent. So there's no sense. It isn't a question not that if they repented, they aren't going to. When they aren't going to, there's only one way to go. Now, having said that, let's try to get on the other side, at least for this one. And, God, I want to learn something because I don't want to be in the place. I don't want to read those words and have them in my life. I don't want to have to think that God, no one can get to you for me, and I can't get to you. I don't want to get in that place, God. Now, over in 1 Kings, exercise. 1 Kings, and we're going to find our words, prayer, intercession, praying, crying, and let's see how it works. Now, what were they promised under Solomon, etc.? They were given great hope in the light of the realities that were ahead of them. Now, 1 Kings chapter 8, and picking up if I can, this is Solomon's prayer, remember, he's dedicating the temple, and in verse 22, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hand towards heaven. And he said, Lord, not to his, the temple being dedicated. But it wasn't the temple. It's the God of the temple. You don't need the temple, you need God. And the Lord said, Lord God of Israel, verse 23, there is no God like thee in heaven above and on earth beneath. Thou keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. God, you honor thy people. Verse 24. Who hath kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, thou speakest also with thy mouth, and hath fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Now, sliding down, if I can, verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? God, the universe is in the middle of you. That's right. Now, in verse 28. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer, there's your word, of thy servant, and to his supplications. O Lord, my God, hearken unto the cry, and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. God, I'm praying now, and Solomon's going to get through, and he's going to be an encouragement to everyone down the line if they would heed and hear the message. Over, if you would, verse 29. That thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even to the place which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. Now, sliding over, verse 30. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and to thy people Israel, when they shall pray towards this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Now, God, this is what it has to be for us, so we're in trouble. Sliding down, verse 33. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, there's your word, and make supplication unto thee in this house. When they turn, they're going to get, the enemy's coming, they haven't done well, they've messed up. But if they would look to Jerusalem, look to where the temple was, that's what you're looking at, Solomon. But they're going to see no temple, because Nebuchadnezzar's going to knock it down. Now, so verse 38. What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know, there's the word prayer again, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hand toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. God, you know the hearts. Verse 44. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray, there's your word, unto the Lord toward this city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, verse 45, then hear thou in heaven their prayer, there's your word, and their supplication, and maintain their cause. God, as long as they're going to keep looking to you by way of the temple's to remind them who you are, and they're going to be looking to you. Verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy, far and near. That was happening to the 10 tribes already. It was going to happen to the 2 tribes by Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 47. Yet, if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carry them captives, saying, we have sinned and done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and return, verse 48, unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward this their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Verse 49, then hear thou their prayer, there's your word, and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. Now, in the light of all of that, over and over, wherever they are, whatever the conditions, if they just turn to God, even though they did terrible, and they're in terrible condition, they'll look to God, and God will help them. Verse 54. And this is all the prayer. Verse 54. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying, there's your word, And all his prayer, that's what you've been looking at, 7:16, Jeremiah, and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees, with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. God, you have been absolutely trustworthy and fulfilling your whole word. Verse 57. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. Verse 6, 56, why not? 58. That he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways, and keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. Slipping down to verse 60, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, that there is none else. So God, you're dealing with Israel, whether they're in the land or out, whether the temple's whole or knocked down by Nebuchadnezzar or Titus, no matter what, God, may all the earth know that you're God, by way of Israel. That's true. That's true now. It's going to be true in the tribulation that the Jews are going to be beaten up. That's the only way you can hit God, is hit the Jews. And that's what they're going to do. Now, having said that, and all the world is to know, and in the end of that, you'll remember, in chapter 8, verse 61, therefore, knowing that all the, I'll read verse 60 again, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, that there is none else. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, keep his commandments, as at this day. And the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. Now, here's the prayer. We just made a quick synopsis of just its movement, and it's a wonderful movement of a great future, and though Israel, and looking ahead, Israel's going to be, boy, they're not going to do well. But if Israel will just keep turn to God wherever they are, the North Pole, South Pole, wherever they are, God is there. God can be counted on. And God is going to do it because Israel is God's nation to all the nations of the world. Now, having said that, now, how sobering, how awesome was this prayer? Verse 63. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord, 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. That's just, you have to understand the magnitude of that. I can't handle it because I can't think what you, I'm trying to think of them. I'm looking at the city, I'm trying to think how, wow. And the busy priest, 120,000 sheep. Boy, you guys were really caught up with a God, and you were looking that God was going to do this. You betcha. Now, so here they are, Jeremiah 7, you have to go there. And in Jeremiah 7, God said, don't pray. But they could have prayed, but they don't. They aren't in the place to pray. They aren't there. So now, having said that much, and if they just would pray, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, going to verse 14. If you know that, you'll know it. When I read it, you'll recognize it right off. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what? Pray. There's your word. If they'll pray. Don't pray. But if they'll pray. If they'll pray. And seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If my people would turn. Now they aren't going to turn. They aren't ready to turn. The tribulation is going to help them to turn. Very much so. Now, over if you would to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, we're trying to get a handle on making sure that we have the remedy for 911. We want to make sure that when you hit the button, you get through. Psalm 32, picking up in thought, if I may. Oh, in, you'll catch the flavor of it. In verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, said David, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Now, I didn't ask for forgiveness because I already have that. I'm not telling you, I confess my sin because you already have made provision in those thousands of animals that pointed to the person of Christ. You've already made provision. I understand that. I confess my sin. You forgive it. Not a question of forgiveness. It's a question of what I have to do to enjoy forgiveness. Now, and thus, in verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. And God will go and teach and instruct, etc. And so God is a time when you may be found. God said, but there's a time I'm not going to answer. So Israel has reached the point where the answering machine, the 911, isn't going to answer at all. Nope, no answer. Not this time. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would please, to Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45. On the other side, we want to remind ourselves, that what were they doing? They were trusting the system, world system, and their approach to handling things. And thus, Isaiah 45, picking up, if I can, in verse 20, 45 and 20. Assemble yourselves and draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image. Images, idols, powerless. And they pray, and they pray. They put up their images and pray, there's your word, unto a God that cannot save. And they offer their prayers to all kinds of persons, things, solutions, in place of God to save them. Now, they'll try, I don't need help, but when it comes, to where do you turn? 911, an ambulance? But an ambulance is limited. It's very limited. No question about it. Thank God for them, but they're limited. All kinds of reasons. They're just limited. Wow. So when everything's done, where am I going to call? Where am I going to call? Well, God said, listen, you want to trust the system, then pray to the system to be your God. And the system can't be a God. Think of all the things that you trust. Make a little list in your mind or on a piece of paper. And then ask, how capable is what you're trusting able to compete in competition with God? How good is your solution in the light of God? You put it down on a piece of paper. Well, my solution is this and that, and someone will come, and this one will do that for me. Well, now compare that. Think about it, and then compare it. But when God comes, when God's involved, all the stuff about having anything happen or work out, all of that disappears because God doesn't have a problem. But when you pray to something or someone that is not God, it won't work. You can't save. You can't save. And having said that, let me move quickly over, if you would please. So we don't want to do that. Thus, over in Isaiah 53. Isaiah, you're already here. In Isaiah chapter 53, may I go directly to verse 6. 6. And if I can pick up the thought. In verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the word have laid is the word intercession that you read in 7:16 of Jeremiah. To meet, to bring together for intercession. The Lord hath laid on him, or he's taken God's holy person, he's the God man, And God's taken the sin of the world in his own body, humanly, and he's brought them together, and they come together and meet. How is God, a holy God, going to deal with humans? By way of his Son, who brings together. He's the perfect mediator, the perfect intercessor. He brings them together like that. Now, having said that, and thus, over if you would please, in Isaiah 59, God, why did your Son have to do this? Because, Isaiah 59, Christ had to do that because, in verse 16, God saw, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. There's no one to do it. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. The Lord had to do it. He had to do it. There's no one else to do it. No one else. You look around, there's no other way. God had to step from the throne down to the cross to do it. He had to do that. Now, and thus God said, when you turn me off, that's not good. Over, please, to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, picking up our thought, if we may. And remember, Israel is in 70 years of captivity by way of Nebuchadnezzar and punishment. And in verse 11, 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, and thoughts of peace. Now, when you read that, what do you know? What should click in your mind, perhaps, when you read that? I'll read it. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. And when you read that, a suggestion. My thoughts to you are more than can be numbered. They are more than the sand of the sea. When I tell you I'm thinking about you, you want to know that. Because otherwise you'll limit God to your brain and your thought process, which is a pygmy, little. So now, thus God, your thoughts. Israel, but boy, they aren't catching on, not yet. Now, verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, all the trouble, tribulation coming up, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Don't pray. But then you will pray. You will pray because you went through the ringer. You got through the boy. And you wake up. And then, verse 13, and you shall seek me and you're going to find me. And when you search for me with all your heart. And again, the verb, verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations, and from all places, whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I have caused you to be carried away captive. I told you, I'm the cause. You want to know why you got trouble? You got trouble. You better look to me, said God, so you can understand why you got trouble. If you're trying to solve it without looking to me, you're trying to look at symptoms. Symptoms, all kinds of symptoms, and answer symptoms. You want to find the cause of the symptom, don't you? You want to find the root. You don't want to find the spider web. You want to find the spider that makes the web. Now, in chapter 29, if you would, over in verse 4, you'll pick up the flavor of that. So there's no way to miss this watch. There's no way. So when I'm trying to ask, why does this happen to me? Then I got to go to God. I sit down and try to figure it all out. I've got to get to God, like we shared last time, as Job did. Chapter 29, verse 4, watch it. It's straightway, you can't, the people of Israel, Jerusalem couldn't miss it. Verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, Daniel, Ezekiel, and each one, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. I have caused it. I did it. And, in case you miss it, verse 7, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. Now, I'm going to let you get captive and go to Babylon or whatever other place in all the world, whatever the world is. You pray for that city. You pray for that place because you're there. And you want my grace on that place because you're there. You don't want my judgment on them. You want my grace on them, don't you? You're in prison. Don't you want the grace on the prison so the guards and the staff are happy? You don't want them all mad and sad because then it's a very horrible condition. God said, pray for the peace wherever you go. Pray that God will give peace, you know. Pray for that. Don't curse them. Pray for them. And I'll just do a little. You know it. Chapter 25, Jeremiah. Chapter 25. And in chapter 25, well, I'm not even. Chapter 25, verse 11. This whole land shall be desolation and astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Over to chapter 27. Chapter 27, verse 6. I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him, and all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the very time of his land. Of the time of his land come, then shall many nations and great kings serve themselves of Babylon. But you have to wait till God's finished with Babylon's purpose. Verse 8, and it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with famine and with pestilence until I have consumed them by my hand. You follow my lead. And if I send you into captivity, you be ahead and pray for God to be gracious of where you're headed. Because you're going there. And you pray for God's grace. Wonderful truth. Wonderful truth. That's what you have in Timothy, you know. Pray for the peace of the government. We're in it. Now, thus, having said that, chapter 33. Chapter 33. Now, we said it was a very wonderful thing, actually, that Israel was just missing out. Jeremiah, don't you get sad. I can't pray. I can't change anything. No. But you want to be stimulated and encouraged. And he was, as you know. Chapter 33, he's in prison again. Prison, nothing like prison. And prison he went to again. Another, what can I tell you? They didn't kill him. They put him in prison. God's going to keep him. And so, now you remember the wonderful statement right here, verse 2. chapter 33, verse 2, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call upon unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer. There's your word. I will not answer you, Israel, but I will answer you. I'm going to answer you, but not yet. Not yet. So don't bother praying. You can push the 911 all you want. I'm not going to answer. I know your problem. I know what it is. And I'm waiting for you to get it clear. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. You don't do anything till it's the right time. The right time. You have to let, like the person, in rescuing somebody in the water, you would want to wait till they quit struggling before you try to help them, or else they'll grab you and drag you down. So you wait. You wait. God waits. God waits. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God's waiting, and God said, I'm going to do all of these wonderful things. And I want you to understand what I'm going to do. Now, but so chapter 32, Jeremiah. Remember, God, remember Jeremiah sells his property and everything, all that stuff. Because they're going to lose it. I mean, the Babylonians are going to take it, etc. But, be of good cheer, Jeremiah. It looks like it's all gone, but it isn't all gone. It only looks like that. So chapter 32, you would recall going directly, Jeremiah chapter 16, chapter 32, verse 16. Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, remember buying a piece of property now, selling and buying, Baruch, unto the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, what's the sense in getting something I can never have that isn't going to be taken away? Verse 17, Our Lord, behold, God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee, too wonderful, too extraordinary, too stupendous. God, there's nothing you can't do, God. Nothing you can't do. And so, Jeremiah, are you able to do all the, you sell, you buy your property, you aren't going to have the property? Over if you would, and thus, when you end the prayer, in verse 26, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, verse 27, what did you say to him, God? Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard? Same statement, same words. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah said, there's nothing too hard for you. And God said, is there anything? And you say, no, not a thing. There's nothing impossible to you, God. The dead aren't a problem. The heart problem is the real issue. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would to Isaiah 65. Isaiah chapter 65. And remember in Ezekiel, without reading there, God is going to give them all that land back. That's what God's going to do. He's going to do it. Though, you know, looks like, but God isn't going to lose out on what he already made a promise. Why does he have to keep his promise? Because he promised the seed of Abraham that they'd have that land. They have to have that land. No matter who goofs, it ends up, it has to be theirs. And thus, Isaiah 65, verse 24. Isaiah 65 and 24. And this is in the millennium, in the wonderful time in the kingdom. And it shall come to pass that before they call, cry out, I will, what? I'm going to answer them. I don't want to, don't talk to me, I'm not going to hear you, I'm not going to answer you. But then, before they ever say anything at all, I'm going to answer. Before they ever ask, I'm going to answer them. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear them. Wow, I'm going to hear them. Now, hang on to that, and let's get that a little bit more in focus quickly. Over to the Gospel of Matthew. Here we are looking to God, believers, and we're trying to get an education from yesterday in the presence of God, who's already been there, is there, and is here at the same time. Matthew chapter 6, picking up. I just want you to put it in front of you. Matthew, remember, if you want me to be king, this is the conditions if you want me to be king. Matthew chapter 6, picking up, if I can, in verse 7. Then when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Don't follow their lead. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Before they call, I will answer them. What about, don't we pray? No. Then you don't have to do that. No. Over, you do it again, you know. Chapter 6, and in verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows you have need of all these things. Yes. Therefore, so we don't get tied up in trying to tell God every detail about what we think needs to happen and how it needs to happen and when it needs to happen. We don't have to do that. We don't need to do that because God already knows. And so I got that. I'm not going to mess that up. I got that part. So that helps me a lot. So then I'm not trying to sit down like I try to talk to somebody, a human, and try to give them the details. I don't need to give God the details. I need to just get to God on account of the details. Now, thus, over to John, Gospel of John. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, may I go directly to verse 13, you know it, in the upper room. God's instructions is going to be away, and this is what they need to understand about their relationship. Verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask. Now, when the Lord was with him personally, everywhere they went, like we're going to start something, everywhere they went, God always was ahead, and whatever they needed, he was ahead of them. He took care of it. They didn't have to sit down and have a committee meeting. They didn't have to sit there, don't ever. God already was ahead, whatever, because he was there. But he's going to be gone. But it isn't when he's gone, the Spirit of God is going to represent, you know, Romans 8, 26, 27. He prays for us. We don't know what to what. We don't know what to ask. We don't know what to pray. We don't know what to call. We don't know how to do it. How do I put the thing together? I don't know. But God, you do. So what is my part then? Chapter 14, verse 13. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you're going to ask in my name. I know your need. And when you're asking, which the word asking, the verb, to ask, the desire of the will, expressing that which we wish to have something, need something. What do we want? Well, we want, if you want to ask in my name, in the light of who I am, that, and the purpose, so you know it isn't just a wishy, like a genie, you give a magic wish, he'll grant you your three wishes. It isn't that. Verse 13, what's the condition? That you are going to go, and my Father is going to be glorified in because you're asking in my name, in a relationship to me. In a relationship to me, you're going to ask, and you're going to glorify my Father. So what you want to do, knowing I have the need, I know the need. I know all the needs. Not wants and wishes, I know them too. I know the needs. So God, what are we doing then? Well, we're going to look to you so that our prayer is effective, efficient. Wow. So God, so we're looking to you, and what do we want? Well, God, in the middle of whatever it is, tonight, tomorrow, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, whatever it is, God, You already are ahead of me, behind me, and in me. So God, I'm going to go and look to you. I want your will. I want the Father to be honored because of you. I'm looking to trust you with all my heart. You're the vine, and we are the, what? Branches. I want you to stay attached. That's your job. You don't have to tell me about the weather, the bugs, or the winter, or anything. Stay attached. You don't have to talk to me about the need. I know the need. I know the need. So we don't get all blow up and lose it. No, the need's horrible out there everywhere. Where isn't there a need? So now, God, what are we going to do? We're going to go and honor you, honor you. And in verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I want you to honor me. Chapter 15, verse 7, you know. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. It's going to be done on your behalf. The reason I'm going to do it is account of you. I want you to be at home with me, and I'm at home with you, the vine and the branch. I want you to be relaxed, and I'm going to go, and all that I'm going to do is going to glorify the Father, and I'm going to do it all in the light of my wonderful plan for your life. My thoughts to you are more than can be numbered. And so, if you would just have trusted me, Israel, you would have saved Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar was destined in the light of history to come. So God, here we are, looking to you. And we're going to ask, looking to you always, to learn to pray, to trust you. And that's what it's all about. God, remember Solomon's prayer, not to the temple, to the God of heaven. God, here we are. So now, you got the idea? 911. But I don't have to call 911 because God already answered. So when I look to God, God is already there. No? He's already there. And I want his will in it. Right? Here you go. The ambulance. But I want his will. His will. No? What do you think? No. I put you all to sleep. Anyway, got the idea? And it's a, Jeremiah is just so helpful to us. And you have to try to make that which seems not so positive, positive. So, perhaps you have a particular prayer request. Remember Friday night?